You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To listen to the live stream, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. Now, on with the audio chat.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the greatest show on earth. Prepare to be amazed. Please welcome your host for this evening, Mr. Flapper Man.
Thank you. Listen up. The whole world's a stage in your MV audience, and everything you see on the stage is fraudulent. Nothing you see before you is fact. Are you ready for your headline act? This act is truly one of a kind. They'll dazzle you and play tricks on your mind. An illusionist with billions of fans. Please welcome NASA. Put together your hands. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's so lovely to see you again. Tonight we have a very special show. There's a few things we want you to know. Tonight we reveal some of our techniques. We'll expose NASA like WikiLeaks. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we'll show you how we fool the world. And when we're done exposing our lies, none of you are going to realize, even though we're gonna tell you straight, it'll be too hard for you to contemplate. A trick so huge you won't believe, impossible for you to conceive. That's why we tell it, cause you'll reject it. A lie so big you can't accept it. No, you can't. There's no substance in outer space. We made it all up, yeah, face to face. It's the greatest lie that's ever been told. The biggest trick you've ever been told. We've been watching this satanic lie. Face is a drug and everybody high. It's only your imagination that's been a fake. Ladies and gentlemen, face is fake.
We can't believe you fell for it, man. If you tell a lie big enough, frequently enough, it'll be believed.
See, there's a solid barrier we can't get through. It's called the firmament between me and you. Go check word of Armstrong Headstone. He knew about that firmament dome. He left you all a little nod and a wink. For those of you still able to think, Psalm 19:1, chapter and verse, the firmament stone is handiwork. That's why when our rockets leave the earth, they form a parabolic current. We'll then switch over to an animation. Then it's over to your imagination. But I'm here to tell you that in reality, our rockets end up in a graveyard in the sea. Our launch pads are on coastal
regions. Interrupt our program to bring you this important
message. This is O'Hallahan from South Korea, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Oh, yes, we do. There's no substance as outer space. We made it all up, yeah, space is fake. It's the greatest lie that's ever been told. The biggest trick you've ever been told.
It's not real! It is not real!
It's not okay,
that didn't really work. I thought it would play over the music, but that is not what the... But, okay, good lesson. Welcome, everybody. Yes, we will have a nice chat. I am here with, on the balcony as ever in Bogota, with a lot of traffic in front of me. So, will be some sounds in the background, probably. And I'm sitting here with, as always, next to me, at least in Discord, Gareth from Geneva, Switzerland.
Hi, everyone. I, for one, doesn't have the chance to live in such a palace as you are, but I will try to make the best of what I have. So, hi, everyone.
Well, I try to be close to space, and I think I pretty managed that. The only unfortunate thing is Just like now, I can see at least maybe about 3% blue sky now.
And yes.
The amount of clouds only will increase because the city will only grow, and especially towards the north where I'm watching. So if I want astronomical observations myself, I need to leave the city, and I need to do that. There's a plan I want to do. I would like to have a telescope, but maybe just visit telescopes or people with telescopes and watch the skies. I've watched the skies through telescopes before, but do it more often. Yes. That's what's real, and at least the lights are there, and then we can find out what is the best explanation for them. And I would like to talk about that exact topic for I don't know, I'll go 1 hour or so, not too long, not too short. And Gary's also has some find of his own and his own research and own points, and yeah, I just have some nice chat about different. Posts on different forums, fakeologist.com and on cuttingthroughthefog.com, two blogs, and some music. First, I thought it would be nice maybe do a small recap of our 10.5 hour Apollo paper rocket chat. What's in your hand, Gareth? By the way,
a paper rocket. The last one I own.
The last one you own.
It could be a problem in the future, but who really needs a paper rocket? I'm already high enough on love and life.
I just lit my paper rocket too.
That was quite a chunky audio chat that we have on the Moon Conquest. And we could have done even more. It's just that it was pointless to go over many points that were made before. We try to find new areas and, try to give you new materials on the supposed moon conquest and space odyssey at large.
While we are at that, why not do an ultimate try to get one of the bots play a fragment of Which is Key? I will look for it. That takes me a while, but we can talk in the meantime. This is namely, the one of the key fragments, and it's not that you don't have to listen to 10.5 hours, because you have to listen to 10.5 hours, because he gets so many new points you have never heard of before, and you will learn so much from it. If you're even mildly interested in space travel topics, because it's not only about Apollo, and we will talk about that a bit today, but it's about space travel in general, and how they fake it. And what they do, and why, and all that.
Yes, and it was a huge piece of work on your end that you put together for that audio chat. So I really, really want to thank you again for making this possible, because 95% to 99% of the material that we use on that specific audio chat came from your end only. And that has to be said.
Thanks, yeah. It's true. I went to my old research, but actually, I found even more after that, so that's great. But the thing is about this documentary is that you can see it yourself. You can see what I saw, and now I saw even more. So it is all out there. It's mainstream. It is they show, and that it was my first exposure. Because I didn't see that in school. I never. No, knew about it, and I thought, what the fuck? Well, first, they have sand on the moon that cannot be there, and then this rover, we didn't even talk about that. That was the thing. So it's great to talk about. Even if there will be sand on the moon, which there cannot be, because there's no process that can create sand, and I know it, because that's why they never showed sand before Apollo. Or in any science fiction, or even also science, same thing. It was always hard surface, but even if that would exist on the moon, and you would have a buggy driving there, already impossible. Well, then what would happen to the sediment on the moon? There's 1/6 gravity, and there's no atmosphere, and yeah, temperature, pressure, air conditions are strange, right? But that's the main thing, the main difference with Earth. Gareth, what would happen with the sand?
Yes, and also the one thing that we go over that was really interesting was the fact that they needed to redo another set of pictures to reinforce the official story.
Mm-hmm.
But to go back to the sediment point, yes, the fact is that supposedly the rover were leaving marks on the ground.
Yeah, no, but the sand. Because if you look at the footage, you see the sand is thrown behind the buggy. And that is why they use sand, because they wanted to create that effect. But that effect completely failed. With that effect, they proved they were not on the moon. And they used it as proof they were on the moon. That's the thing. Because yes, what would happen with the sand, with anything on the moon, if there's 1/6 gravitational force, or 1/6 attraction to the moon, anything that goes up, and so let's say a grain of sand, let's say, cannot be there, right? But okay. Goes up 6 times higher, because there's 6 times less attractive force and restriction, and also less, there's no atmosphere, right? So it's also easier. Playing badminton here is different than playing badminton at sea level, yeah? What's happening?
Sand is going up, yeah? Same amount of time to go down also.
Yes, exactly, yeah, right, yeah. 6 times slower, at least, right? Or even more, because there's no atmosphere that can restrict its movement down. It's like, like floating very, like a snowflake, right? Like that. That should happen.
Yes, it will build more something of a cloud of sand than...
Yeah, it would stay, it would stay, like, suspended in the air, like, very long. Like, you have these, with building construction, and you have certain sediment, certain clouds that produce that stay very long visible, right? That's what should happen. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And I probably think that would also cause some traction issue that you will have to settle. So it's something that we didn't really go over, but and I am not aware of, but having the tech specific of the moon rover might be of interest. Because I figure this thing, to be able to move on the moon, will have an absent amount of horsepower.
Who built it? Wasn't it? It was some famous car company, right? I don't remember shit. But it's actually, I think the cost was $12 million or something. And it's just like a cart or so, right? Like these, you had these... When we were kids, right? Remember that you had these things where you had to cycle and like a car, right? These things. And you had them with a thing in the back that you could pull people or pull things. You know these things, right? We had those. Well, personally, but you had, they were around, right?
Yes.
In the 90s. So these things, they used for this this rover, right? I mean, one, and there's only one, right? Yeah, analyzed it, and it's the same rover in the 3 missions, 15, 16, 17. Every time, use the same rover. with air, the tires.
Why not? For the Nevada desert, it's excellent.
In a near vacuum, it would implode, but okay. Explode, yeah. But whatever, right? So, yeah, they have more ideas coming from the Apollo chat we have.
From the Apollo chat itself, not that much, but I saw an article where they're trying to reinforce the moon story about a lady that supposedly wanted to sell a moon rock to someone, and that someone revealed to be an FBI agent that supposedly left the poor lady in 2 hours in a car.
How big was that? So one question first, and then sorry for interrupting. But how big was this rock?
I don't remember. To tell you the truth, I don't remember. It was small. It was very small, I think.
It's like.
And it was supposed to have been brought back.
It's like half a fingernail. It's like half a fingernail size.
Yes, and also the backstory for the way it was brought back doesn't check out, even if you follow the official story.
Of course, yeah, but what was the story about this lady? Can you please take your time for it? I mean,
yes, simply the lady was in possession for some reason of that piece of moon rock, and she wanted to sell it over the internet. And it appeared that this is a federal crime, so an FBI agent pretend to be a seller, buyer, I'm sorry, set up a meeting and then arrested her.
It is.
I figure that it is a federal offense because otherwise I don't know why the FBI would have arrested her.
No, this is a story. We know that, right? This is fake.
Yes. There is absolutely no truth.
There doesn't need to be an official legal base for it because it's a story, right? It's theater. It doesn't need to be lawfully correct, but it cannot be lawfully correct. NASA material is public data. If I would have an alleged moon rock in my possession, I can sell that wherever the fuck I want, right? I cannot imagine that there is any law against that. I don't know, I'm not an expert at all on law. Maybe SMJ, when you're listening in, you can... I will ask you on Cutting Through the Fog, which we will talk about in more detail. But this cannot be legal. I cannot believe this is legal. I won't claim this cannot be legal.
I concur with you. I think that this story is just there to reinforce the narrative that this is truth, because real people are going to jail for that, so it's not possible that it's fake.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, you nailed it.
It's the same, for example, with the Christchurch shooting. If someone goes to jail because he broadcasted the video must be real.
Eh? What's happening?
I mean, that's the logic that they want you to have.
Why is the bot not working? Oh, maybe I'm doing something. Wait a second.
No. Yes, of course. So anyway, it's common to have small side stories for big events like the moon or 9/11 or whatever. Because it's always good to have something to reinforce the story. And also it gives a human element. And if you deny those things, you are kind of a monster because you are denying the suffering of real people and you are an horrible person and you should pull aside of society just because of that.
Yes. Wait a second here.
So yes, I think that this is something that we can see in the mainstream narrative about a lot of events, is bringing the real people narrative into the discussion. Because then it creates some kind of
moral wrongness. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the Holocaust story in the end. It creates this sense of moral wrongness about questioning something because of the human suffering or whatever. I clearly want to say that no one is denying any kind of type of human suffering. And questioning a certain subject does not mean that you are, denying the suffering of human in that specific circumstance. At least in most cases. Of course, if you say no one died, no one got hurt, that is different.
Yeah, I just want to say that, or let the bot say that, but the bot is broken. I'm not kidding.
Yes, so, and that is something that we speak about off-air. Of course, we bring the curse on ourselves.
Come on, I mean, the bot is still working. Let me try.
Try the other one, maybe.
No, I cannot... I mean, it is corrupt now, because I mixed the two commands, and now I cannot... let me try this, if this works.
So, yes, bots problem. If creepy listening, see how we struggle.
All the bots, shit. No, fuck, then we cannot record anything. We have sound things. Because we can also don't do... We cannot do quotes, we cannot do anything. Maybe we will also save that. But we can at least have a talk. That's not the point. We have blog posts to review.
Yes. So that is, we can still go over some things.
Yes.
But that is something that, sadly enough, I think that we brought the curse upon ourselves by just mentioning the fact that if the bots were ever to leave us or to stop working, we were fucked. And then we are. The bot are not working, and we are fucked.
Well, at least we have our thoughts and our company.
Oh, yes, right? Clearly we still have the chance to... And also, we still have the streamer bot, and we are still live, so that is not the main issue.
Yeah.
But we have been accustomed to the comfort of those bots and the easiness of use that they brought to play audio clip and whatever. And in the end, one thing that I always appreciated with the audio clip and whatever, it brought us a little breather, you know?
Yeah.
Moment
yes.
to organize your thought, prepare your next argument, let out a fart or whatever.
Yeah, it was so great to hear Rollo with John again. That is pity we cannot play that anyway. But let's go over a little bit of text then, shall we?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, there have been some advancements in the later weeks, in the past weeks. I started posting on the blog. I already mentioned that in earlier chats. CuttingThroughTheFog.com. That's a blog maintained by. Sorry about the trucks in the background, but yeah, the buses. This blog is maintained by Josh. He's an American guy who lives in Israel, married an Israeli wife, I think. But he is L'chaim. Jewish, but yeah, L'chaim, yeah. He is Jewish, but he is awake and he's not shilling for the Jews or so. And he doesn't have.
You are on a tangent. I tell you that Adolf Hitler famously said that every German has is Jew, and if we were to say that every Jew that belongs in some sort of way to a German or that is vetted by a German, we cannot eliminate any Jew. So beware. If we start to think like you, we will not eliminate any Jew anymore.
Okay, thank you for this Wednesday conference snippet.
Yes, we don't have that, but we still have a solid sense of humor. So.
Send my regards to Reinhard Heydrich. I mean, in the end, his name was attached to the so-called murder of my great-grandparents, so I have to thank him for that. That didn't happen. We were talking about cutting through the fog. I mean, the main theme of these guys is they are groupies of Miles Mathis, and especially in his physical theories. And he has written two or three books, or four maybe, I don't know. I haven't read them. About charge fields and about that.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
So, this is perfect, perfect starting time, Garrus. I like this, it's good. Whoa, lots of motorcycles now. But, their view is mainly that, more or less half of the quantum physics and so, that's wrong. But then Miles Mathis came and he reshuffled stuff and then shuffled in charge. And it's mathematically, everything is correct, I think. And I am completely sure of that. He's smart enough, right? But the point is, and one tangent of that is, he says pi is 4 in dynamic circumstances. But it's a strange claim because pi is a constant. Pi is defined as 2 pi times the radius of a circle is its circumference, right? So that's how, and the quadrat, the power of the radius times pi is the surface area of the circle. That's how it's defined in rest. And then it changes in dynamic circumstances. No, pi doesn't change. Pi is a constant. There may be some other factor added to something, but then you cannot call it pi because pi is already used as a constant. That's the point. And we had a debate about that on Clue's forum and so on. The thing is, they are very personal. So if you disagree with Miles Mathis's work, well, I cannot disagree with his theory. My point is, we cannot go into space, so we cannot test this theory. But it's speculation, it's a hypothesis, which is fine, but, yeah. I mean, they are personally attacked by that view. If you don't believe in that, then you're Shale and Langley and all this kind of shit. I don't want to read all these comments. You can listen back to Fuck 601. Faye is back. I don't know for how long after that chat. But, you can listen back to that if you hear some of those posts. But I want to read again one post I made, and on the reaction of that was some lengthy shill calling, but whatever. Because I think I made my point why I think space travel is impossible and always will be impossible, and not only for us, but also for any extraterrestrial out there. So there will be never aliens. They cannot visit us, just like we cannot travel anywhere else. They cannot travel anywhere else either. It's not us. It's not technology. It is Gaia. It doesn't matter if it's a gravitational model, or if it's a model based on ether, or if it's a charge field or electromagnetic or whatever, ping pong balls in the sky. It doesn't matter. If we cannot do that, if there's a physical restriction, then that is universal. And yes, the only thing what would it work if gravity holds us down. We need anti-gravity to go against it. That's as simple as that, right? If the air pressure keeps you down, you need an air balloon with lighter air to go up, right? That is how it works. And that is real space flight or controlled flight.
I think that you really found someone, no one to disagree with you on that. That makes sense, at least.
Mm. And the beauty of it doesn't matter if it's gravity-based. I'm talking about the celestial model, right? I think heliocentrum makes the most sense. But it doesn't matter if it's gravity-based or electric, whatever. There is some force that keeps it all together, and then there is some guy on a computer who designs a path through a whole 4D marble set of planets and stars and asteroids and everything in perfect gravitational equilibrium. And some pieces are not, and they crash into other bodies, meteors, meteorites, craters on the moon. Sorry, I don't think it's electromagnetic pulses. I've never seen those, or I don't know. Yeah, you have never seen, and we have never seen a big impact of a crater of a meteorite. But we also have never seen an electromagnetic pulse volcano kind of thing. They say happened. So yeah, we're even then, right? I mean, it looks like solid rock with solid impact craters that you can see on Earth as well. So, that is, yeah. I don't know how you could see it otherwise. But okay, doesn't matter. This is God, right? This is God-like. This is all perfect. All harmonious. It's one big system. And then one small space thingy thinks it can circumvent all these laws, all these equilibriums that are there, equilibria that are there in gravitation or in electromagnetics or so. La 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 la, just go la la. Oh, we jump up on orbit from here to there, and we can just park a camera, a spaceship, and they literally claimed it in the Lagrangian points of the sun. They have a spaceship stationary, so there's somehow possibility of having stationary things in space where everything is dynamic. The Earth is moving with, I don't know, 360,000 kilometers or whatever they claim through space, right? Everything. But no, this space thingy is hanging there somehow because it's mathematically solvable gap between two gravitational bodies, but we're never talking about two gravitational bodies because we're talking about millions of gravitational bodies, if it's all gravitational. And if it's not, then millions of electromagnetic and whatever, right? It doesn't matter which force it actually holds it together. So, and then this is just parked there, and then they call it a Lagrangian point, and on paper, they can calculate things and put different terms next to each other and have an equation that solves. That doesn't mean that can represent reality, because if you leave out of the equation the reality, actually, that there are millions of gravitational forces going around and not two, right? It's ridiculous. That if you cancel that all reality out, yeah, then it works. Yeah, of course, yeah, that is. And if you take, it's just like making a simple logo, an outline of something, yeah, that shows something. It doesn't show a detailed photo or something. No, it shows a simplified version of it. That's what they do. NASA.
Yes, but in the end, I don't think it's beyond anyone to fabricate a reality that suits their argument. And the problem is that people are less and less inclined to change opinion on whichever topic or whatever. So I don't know. I think that if someone is saying that the Earth is flat, you know that you will really
have a hard time changing their mind. No, I know that, but let's not go there. That for that reason. Yes, because
so that would be difficult to win an argument, and that is not the purpose.
The point is, it is impossible to tell people who eat chicken brains to not eat them, right? They do that.
Yes,
yeah, they exist. They exist, right?
And if they are persuaded that it's good for their long-time health, they will do that anyway.
They exist, yeah, it's not important. They exist, yeah, okay.
Yes.
Right? The thing is that on this blog, there is a suite of people. It's not one big common opinion. And the question of the OP of this blog post by George is, how far does it go? What is fake in space travel? So this is completely everything on topic, right?
Yes.
So shall I read my first post of?
Oh yes, of course.
Yesterday, day before, in the evening. Okay, back to basics. What do we actually know about space travel? I think all of us here know that the Apollo, quote-unquote, space... I want not to do the quotes, but the space program left out by Dr. James Van Allen in his... I will go inside. It's a bit too much noise in the background.
So let's wait a bit that the traffic in Bogota, Colombia, quieten a little bit.
No, there's not waiting. I mean, there is a police car, but without sirens, just the lights on, which is quite common. But it's, no, it's far too much traffic. Oh, it's much better. I read this post already on the last one with Faye, but now it's better to just have it in a dedicated chat with quiet and very sharp people like Garrus.
That's what I was about to say. The quietness element will probably change the perspective that we have on this post, and we will have more time to dissect and discuss the argument.
Yeah, great. I think all of us here know that the Apollo space program left out by Dr. James Van Allen in his 1997 publication. We talked about that on the Apollo chat track and also on the Fart Full Moon. Listen to that, it's hilarious, right? Was a blatant clownesque fake. Mars rovers, asteroid landings, remember that one? Ah, yeah, do you remember that one? What was the name again? Oh, shit. I got it close, but...
It was not that long ago, I should remember it. Don't smoke weed, children. Don't smoke weed.
Yes, indeed. I think it was 2013 or so. Rosetta, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it was Rosetta.
Yes,
right?
Rosetta.
Yeah. This asteroid was going with, I don't know, 80,000 kilometers per hour, per second, I don't know. It's just crazy amounts of speed. And then, suddenly, a human-designed thing, somewhere very far away, we can control it. I mean, how do you even do that, right? I mean, there is, the farther you go away from Earth, the longer it takes to communicate with something. That is physics, right?
Yes.
There's no disputing that. I mean, this cannot be different, right? Whatever velocity you take, I mean, because we take then every time the velocity of light, but it is cutting them far too much slack, because right, what is it, Einstein? Didn't he say, I mean, wasn't it that the velocity of light was the maximum velocity, right? And we can never approach it. We can only get closer or whatever. I mean, everything is the maximum. It's like zero Kelvin, right? It's the minimum temperature. Same thing, something like that. I don't know. But this thing is... So the farther you go from the Earth, the longer it takes to communicate with something. I've never heard any... scientific publication to outline that, right? I mean, that's a problem you have with every communication from the Earth and how that works, right? And what actually, if there is like the Van Allen bells, maybe they slow down or speed up the sound or the signal communication, right? All that kind of stuff. We would learn that in school if people really would go into space, because that is knowledge, common knowledge then, right?
Yes.
We shouldn't have this discussion if the, because we, everybody knew that. Right? Okay, sorry, let me go. It will be a long chat, I think. Okay.
Yes, but you need to realize that it's a need for it to be foggy and only understandable and accessible to a small amount of person. Because if that was some common knowledge, like you said, it would be impossible to maintain such a life for such a long amount of time.
Great point. Because that is actually, well, there's one guy there on this blog, and he is like the alpha ape, especially on this topic, because he knows everything about mainstream explanations of these orbital dynamics and so on, and so he accuses me that I don't know anything about that. He is partly right, because I don't know every detail about that. No, and the maths and so, I just, you know, I don't care about it. But I've studied a couple of these points, like I mentioned, Lissajous orbits and Lagrangian points. And this Lagrangian point, literally, it is a parking place, they call it like that, a parking place in space. It is Soho solar... alleged satellite is monitoring the sun on a fixed place, according to the story. In one of these points, there are 5 points, and you can solve. These points exist if you have 2 bodies of gravitational force, and that's how they present their diagrams and everything. It's, one satellite, different. I mean, any space thingy they present. In a 2 or maximum 3 body problem, but sorry guys, you cannot suddenly exclude bodies that have a gravitational impact on your situation that are there. You cannot suddenly exclude them, right? Imagine it is you go into a field, and you everywhere in the field you make campfires, and you light campfires, and then you go with a thermometer, and then you go on one side, and then you measure the temperature there, and then you go to walking towards another side, and then you say, "Yeah, we ignore all these fires here." That is what they're doing. They're ignoring the reality around them, right? And that's why they presented this. Yeah, exactly. It's cherry picking. And that is why in a 2-body problem, this Lagrangian points, they match out with the math fits, right? But that doesn't mean that that is reality. And this guy, this Jared Magnuson, he calls himself an expert on that. And he claims that I don't know shit about it, and I don't know what I'm talking about, and I'm stupid. So I don't want to go into that. So let's go further on my post, because I'm only...
Yes, but it's also a debate tactic to discount the adversary. And it's also tactics to demonize someone.
Character assassination.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, you don't have any... you'll hear it. It is... I didn't go any personal, there's no any attack or anything. It's very
no change of tone, no implication of anyone being dumb or whatever.
Nothing. So yeah, there's no reason to become aggressive. None at all. Other than having to confront that your worldview may be changed. That's the thing, of course. But not everyone on this blog is like him, but he is taken very seriously, and there are he has a lot of following of people who actually are not so, not so smart or intelligent that they can understand things, but they walk behind him, right? I mean, he's like their leader or their guru on this topic at least. So that is how it works. The social dynamics, it's very simple, right? Let's go on with the post, okay? Pluto images, Mars rovers, asteroid landings, do it right the first time, because that was the thing, right? Pluto images, never stars where they should be, the green screen show of the ISS, the list is endless. Manned space travel would be awesome, but reading the comments here, luckily nobody seems to believe those stories. Yuri Gagarin's own wife admits on camera he hasn't been to space. In the end, there is no conspiracy. It is all out in the open. I will stop here just for a sec, because I will go for something else. Do you have some ideas about that, Gears?
I think that it was measured, and it was collected, and the points were made clearly. It doesn't, nothing that warrant a personal attack, or even to get irritated.
Yeah.
And especially, you didn't mention no one by name.
No.
Which is the first thing. Which is the first thing that we should say, it's that you mentioned no one by name. You just stated a few points, and you made clear that they were your belief, and some of them were not only your belief, but were well established on that forum. And like I said, calm, collected, and nothing that warrants any personal attack or change of tone or aggressiveness of any sort.
Yeah. Okay, then I got unmanned probes then. We have the Voyager myth. It allegedly left our solar system for, what was it, Alpha Centauri? I am not going to look it up now, but I don't remember which star it actually was heading to, but it left the solar system, according to the story, right? That was a couple of years ago, right? This was,
yes.
I think Voyager wasn't that launched, I think 1977.
No? I will tell you one thing. The best material you could find on the Explorer story is the Star Trek episode.
Oh, no, I hate Star Trek. Okay, but please say.
Yes, but that's the only thing that is of interest in that story for me.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side
on,
of the ecologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 by subscription or one-time donation.
Lots of money.
Thank you for your support.
At least.
Yes, but let's be honest. $1.19 a month is not that much. And I am ashamed that
pathetic.
I am not paying my due to Fakeologist because it's a great site.
Hey, Gareth, don't be, I mean, you create the content for this site, right? And there wouldn't be any Fakeologist without you at this moment. So let's, please continue what you want to say, but sorry.
Yes, but bring the shekels anyway.
Cool. Yeah, bring these circles. Yeah, I mean, do you know how expensive Tel Aviv is? I know, and it's fucked up. And
yes, I know that.
Really, it's the bus station, the central bus station of Tel Aviv, is literally feeling like you're in some kind of millionaire movie from India. It is so poor, so run down there. I don't know, that was when I was there, it's now 4 years ago, literally this week or so. Please donate money, shekels, that he doesn't never ever have to be there again.
No, you got to be honest, the soundboard that the Mossad kindly booked for you is costly. We need shekels.
Yes. Okay, for shekels.
Yes, so we don't really need the bus.
I will change you. I will now have a view of the cars inside. Hey, it's actually a bit quieter, but let's go on with the blog post. Okay, we had the Voyager. So, in the 1970s, photographing Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and beyond. Seriously? My parents couldn't take a roll of film through the airport without destroying my baby photos. But all these fancy space thingies could just beat all physical laws and show us crystal clear photos of celestial bodies where they, as always, forgot to capture the stars, planets, galaxies, stellar clouds, and whatnot in the background. In the background I add because I cannot change the post anymore, that's only once, and then no change anymore, but that is what I want to say. But every space photo is the same fake. Think back of the key photo of the whole frack Apollo chat. Which one would you take, Gareth?
I will take the one that is on the moon with the lunar module and the space buggy, the space for the moon rover.
Okay.
That one.
Okay. Yeah,
with absolutely no stars on the background whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like the one with the rendezvous of the teapot with the pipe. Because
space pornography.
Yeah, 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 that one, the space porn. Yeah. And it's an Apollo 15 photo, and it is all according to NASA. It is one of the new set, right, of the 90s, because you can analyze the background, and I did that, and you see it is they have a distribution of black colors, but it is unnatural. It is digital, and it is but it is there's no white, right? There's no stars. There's no nothing. And at the
there is absolutely
claim,
no source of light.
The thing is, they claim on the moon that the reflection of the moon, albedo, which actually they say is much less, but that doesn't matter. Let's not go there. Is too much to capture stars. And they have a point in the sense that there is an overabundance of light from the moon, so you cannot capture so much light from the sky, right? That's how light works with photography, contrast, right? But in the example of the Apollo 15 rendezvous, they call it, right?
It's in space.
Yeah, and they capture the teapot and the pipe with such low light conditions that they cannot not capture the stars. It is not possible to ignore, to not receive the light that is coming there. It's the same thing we talked about before. It is ignoring the fires, right? I mean, it is impossible. It's ignoring reality. It's light coming from the stars. You cannot have a pitch black background. Black background.
Yes.
That is physically impossible. That cannot be. So, and that is the same problem with all the space, quote-unquote space photos, is the celestial, the beauty. It should be... If you have seen these photos from the Atacama Desert, man, that is how it should be all the time. And you cannot maybe capture all those lights in all full effect like they can do with these photos in the Atacama Desert because they have a shutter time of 1 minute or so, right? I mean, they have a lot of time to capture the light on film or digital method so that can work then. But if you shorten that time, then it doesn't suddenly turn black or so, right? Even if you would snap, if you have the fastest shutter time, then still there would be some light coming in. It is, the skies are gray then, right? The combined light, the white, mostly white light, is made, and the black background makes it gray, right? This is such basic photography, right? You don't need to be an expert on photography to know this.
Yes. Yes, and that brings, but every kind of logic argument that we make will be opposed by one thing, is that, and you especially insisted on that on the first moon audio chat that we did, we chose to go to the moon. You know, yeah. When the guy say we collectively make the choice to go to the moon, so the wording are very important there. We choose to go to the moon. We choose. We are included in that.
It is literally, well, going back to this field with fires, then we make the fires a bit hotter, right? Like, completely hostile environment. And then he says, literally, we choose to go from one side of the field to the other through the fire. No, you have to overcome this fire to get there. That is how reality works. You cannot choose. You cannot teleport, right? In this game... But is he in a video game in 1961 or so, when 62, when he made this speech, right?
Not yet, exactly.
It is literally science fiction. It's right? It is magic. It's which you cannot. I choose to be a Siamese twin. No, right?
Yes, I know what you say. I choose, but. The thing is funny is that I choose to be LeBron James and I don't want to play basket with the kids. I was not LeBron James. I don't know if it works.
Excellent. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it.
I choose to ignore the physical limitations.
Perfect, perfect. Yes, exactly. Great, man. I will read a bit more, because we have quite some text to go. So, okay. This space, quote-unquote space shuttles, I am sure they were working planes, and I've been, okay, another tangent. I have been at one of the airports, I've landed there. It's the most remote commercial airport in the world. And you know where it is, right? Pierce?
Isn't it in Tierra del Fuego?
No. That is not so remote in the sense. No.
Oh, you mean remote?
Yeah.
That one would be probably in Antarctica?
No, you know, commercial, right? No, it's...
Ah, commercial.
The famous island of Rapa Nui, right?
It is the most furthest, the most remote airport in the world, really?
Yes, yeah, commercial. Okay. I mean, commercial, the military, yes. The military has airports in the middle of Siberia or in Antarctica, yeah, right, like that. But this is not serious, right? You cannot go there.
Yes.
Just like I've been at the, also, just a tangent, but the smallest or the shortest commercial runway in the world is on Saba in the Caribbean. Very nice to visit. It's a volcano literally coming out of the sea. There's no beach. There's zero beach on this island. And it's literally a volcano coming bang out of the sea. It's so beautiful. And they have the shortest runway in the world is there. So it was pretty exciting to go there. It's a small plane, of course, but. But go back to Space Shuttle and Rapa Nui. And I talked to people who actually saw the Space Shuttle land there. Of course, they didn't go to space, but it's an airplane, right? And there's nothing secret about that. It's airplane shape, airplane. Yeah, it's an airplane with a rocket engine in the back or something. I don't know what they do. It's not important.
An airplane, but a glider even.
Yeah, but it has a motor, right? It has an engine.
Yes, but it does not use the engine to go down, which is the only thing we can say it does for real.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, in the
sense that it could be brought up. I mean, it 747 or something like that, and then.
I don't know. I think these launches are pretty okay. I mean, you can launch a space shuttle with a rocket and so, and use the rocket facility of the space shuttle. The thing is, it doesn't go into space, right? It stays in the atmosphere. That's why what conspiracy music guru, formerly called Flat Earth Man, sings about, all these trajectories are all parabolic, right? They all come back to Earth everywhere, every footage you see. They claim that it is because of it becomes farther from you and that it looks like a parable, and that is partly true. That effect is true. Look at an airplane flying away. But that is not the real parabolic flight they see. That literally proves that rockets go up and go down again in a parabolic shape. At least it looks like a parabolic shape from far away, so the real shape is, of course, different, right? You always have, with any 3D object, and in this case it's a trajectory of a rocket, you can only look at it from a 2D, from an angle, right? So you also always have a slice of that 3D reality. To these slides of it.
Yes.
In photos and film, I mean, you can build a model, and that's what I did of the moon, right?
Yes, you can totally do that, of course.
But it's ridiculous.
Strangely enough, you were the only one to do that.
Yeah, this is completely ridiculous, right? And what I did, I used this geologic map of the Apollo 15 supposed landing site, produced before in 1968 or 69 or so, before the Apollo 15. And I took the published, how do you call it? The elevation map with altitude lines. And I traced all these lines, like what you do with the Google Earth, the terrain view, where you see the lines, right? The altitude lines. And traced that and overlaid the two and created the geology of the moon, that according to their model. and created the craters and so, and all that. I can share the picture later. I haven't shared it before. Yeah, that is, everybody would have done it. But I have to continue because otherwise it will be. Okay, the space shuttles, I'm sure they were working planes then. Why would that be real and all the rest fake? But more importantly, how do they come to the ridiculous anti-physical idea of zero gravity? That cannot exist. Gravity is omnipresent and omnipotent. No zero G, guys. No matter you can go up and down with 9.8 meters per square second. And this whole concept of zero G that was invented to make any footage possible, just like the footage of the buggy on the moon and so stuff, or the sediment, I mean, that is invented reality. That is not the reality, and zero G is the same thing. If it's all gravity based, I don't know. Nobody knows. They think they know, and they use that model, so I use that model against them. According to this, how can it be zero gravity? We're talking about everything, every single rock of the rings of Saturn is held in one harmonious, amazing machine, but by gravity, so there is gravity everywhere. But suddenly there is zero gravity. How can that be a case? I fail to see that point.
Because it fits their point. And in the end, we saw earlier that reality is not really an issue for the people that build those models.
The thing is, by definition, we cannot go there. So we can never, ever check out what is the reality. That is what makes space so different from anything else. I mean, we can go... Okay, we cannot go back to 9/11 Ground Zero, but, right, I mean, still, it is on Earth. It is accessible.
So yes, there is enough data for an opinion to be formed.
I mean, David Cole could go to Auschwitz and do his good stuff. And especially Germar Rudolf, the chemist, right, from the Max Planck Institute, where he was kicked out of his own PhD. Man, can you imagine that happens, right? And then, as a scientist, and your name is on a blacklist, right? You can forget your career.
Yes, but nowadays you might find a market in Iran or whatever.
you went to the U.S. He lives in the U.S. now, right?
Yes.
But you know about Germar Rudolf?
Little bit. I am more familiar with other name in that story than Germar Rudolf. David Cole, I am way more familiar with. And really enjoyed this trip to Auschwitz. Which is a different topic than what we are speaking about. Fascinating character.
Mm. Nice paper rockers.
The Second Life is, if I am correct, as a Republican moneymaker of some sort. Ooh. Kind of a magic man to get to finance your electoral campaign. And he was outed a few years earlier. I think it was 2014.
Who was?
David Cole.
Yeah?
He was, yes. I think, if I am correct, he's the guy I'm speaking of. He was he changed his life, he turned his life around because of some threat from the ADL or whatever.
Yeah. Yes.
And then he became this Republican moneymaker, like I said. There is a name for that I don't remember. Anyway, he was able to find funds for your campaign or whatever you wanted.
Fundraiser,
exactly. Thank you very much. So he was a fundraiser for the Republican Party. And, not on a national level, although on a local level. Somewhere in the USA, and he was doxed by some organization, maybe the ADL even.
It may be California, and I disagree with the political system, I think, to fight the cultural Marxist horror of California, at least what I hear from it. I've never been there, right? I can understand why someone would join a local Republican Party, even though I don't believe in it's an issue, right? If you have children, especially in school, and they get all this transgender bullshit. Let's not talk about that. No, the thing is, it's 9.8 meters per square second, right? That is the gravitational acceleration on average, because that changes. And no one has ever explained that, flat earthers or whatever, right? That the gravitational constant is actually not constant. Different, and that changes per rock type in the basement in the earth. So if you have a lot of heavy basement, then there's more attraction locally
and there's different gravitational pull. And that's very slight. It's like 9.78 and 9.79, 9.80, 9.81, 9.82, something in between that. Or I don't know exactly the values, but more or less that, right? So, yes. Yeah, that makes for me also really incredible to deny gravity, because you can measure gravitational effects which are based on certain rock types that are heavy, like heavy ore bodies or whatever, right? That this is what they use to trace these kind of bodies. Okay, but so you can replicate, you counter that force of gravity, that acceleration, in a vomit comet, in a plane, going up and down. That works, that's real, footage is real, right? And you can use that to mimic weightlessness, or zero gravity, in the sense that you cancel out, you have 9.8 one side and 9.8 the other side.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Professor Jim Fetzer here, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Oh, thank you, Professor Fetzer. Oh, that was great. We need more of this. These are the bumpers we need, yes. Let's go on, because we finish before the next eclipse. Hey, why is my electricity? Hubble/Kepler/Gaia, not me, maybe. Here on Earth, our home and only home ever, every new space telescope built a plan at several locations on Earth with the most ideal atmospheric conditions for monitoring and photographing the celestial beauty. Astrophotography is basically putting various layers of photos over each other with different wavelengths of light and different filters. I didn't put that, but I now said it. And you get the wow images we see shared everywhere. They are not, between brackets, necessarily fake, but they are composites. Nobody denies that. What exactly distinguishes astrophotos taken by ground-based observatories, I have visited one, from the ones allegedly taken by a quote-unquote space telescope, on which some white rabbits allegedly worked. Stamping an astrophoto from Tenerife, Hawaii, or the Atacama with Hubble, and voila, not? If manned space travel is impossible, the maintenance on the Hubble was impossible, but then the Hubble is still real. How does that work? I will stop here. Can you give a couple of ideas?
Absolutely, there is absolutely no possibility to maintain such a thing, especially if space travel is impossible. Because this thing has to travel through space.
I mean the same things with the Hubble as with satellites, but there are a couple of extra. Right? It is allegedly in space, in a certain orbit, stable, like a satellite. But people can travel there. They worked on the Hubble telescope to fix the mirror, right? Remember that?
Yes, and I think that the famous and only yet Swiss astronaut Claude Nicollier specifically worked on that mission. If I am correct.
What's his name?
That would have been an early 90 mission.
I think Hubble was launched in 1990, and this maintenance was 1995 or 6 or something. I don't remember. I didn't put it on Wikipedia, but something like that, right? I mean, I remember that as a kid, that struggled happening, right? Of course. But so we have different problems here together, right? We have manned space travel, we have a satellite, and we have a thing that can, we have control over from Earth that can change in different directions and, right? Even move it, right? Somehow. So there's a lot of things going on here. And I cannot imagine, how can you deny one part of, or not believe one part of a story, but all the rest keeping as true, right? If there's no manned space travel, what many people say, there cannot be a Hubble, right? Or
is there a Hubble, but they actually never worked on the mirror, or so, and how does it work then, right? That is the logic I want to have people thinking, and it is not, it's not rocket science, I would say.
It's not indeed.
We will see another example later, or a couple. Okay. What is left? And this is the main part. And pity for the book, but let's not complain. Satellites. The hard nut. And yes, it may sound nuts, but no. Sorry, no functioning man-made satellites exist. Other than balloons, but they are by definition not in space. No single electric apparatus functions without maintenance, or at least access to it. Yet, in the magic Disney World of NASA, missions get multiple times extended without any problems. Mars rovers, anyone? Literally like 10 to 20 times extended. Well, we designed the mission for 3 months and it took 36 months or 12 times. I mean, stuff like that.
Under conditions that are impossible to sustain for such materials at that.
Yeah, I mean, if that all would be all true, then space is so great that there's actually no danger, no problem, maybe everything works, right? Okay, where was it? And none of the images can represent reality. There are not even there are not even photographs of Earth. So how can it be real? And that's the thing that's very important to realize. There are no photographs of Earth. And anyone claiming it, you point them to any photograph of Earth that shows the continent. Because it cannot happen. We look at the blue marble, right? We talked about it in our chat. You see it, and about 26% of the 25% of the Earth is in view, and 75% needs to be on the back. That doesn't fit. It can be like 45 you see in view, or 55 is in the back. Or so. That is possible, but not 25-75. That is not impossible. So the continents are way too big. Everything is way too big. It needs to be smaller, otherwise it doesn't fit, right? That is the reality. I mean, the distances on Earth, I don't think they are contested, because there are enough private sailors, I know them personally, who travel the seas, and they didn't come with, hey, listen, actually, from Ireland to the US coast, actually that's 50% shorter or longer, right? No. It's not happening. So, we know that the maps we make, which are representations of a globe, that's why map making is so difficult, and that's why so many people work in that, that is correct, because we can test it ourselves. It's our own, we don't need to rely on or believe the skipper or the captain of the ship, but anyway, let's not go there. Okay, every object in space is either 100% at minus 270 degrees centigrade, 3 degrees Kelvin. That is, any object that is in the shadow of the sun, right? If it's behind the Earth or whatever, right? I mean, shadow, there's no light falling onto it. That is the situation, according to NASA, or anyone, NASA, Wikipedia, whatever. Or 50% at minus 270 degrees, and simultaneously 50% at whatever temperature, but I say plus 300, but it can be way more. They speak about 1300 degrees in the thermosphere. I mean, there's nothing. Everything, almost all material would melt at 1300 degrees. Many metals, they have metal alloys and metals, certain metals that don't melt, but they get very ductile already at those temperatures, right? I have seen that temperature. Because in university, what we did, it was an oven, very hot oven, where we basalt and granite to see the difference in viscosity and temperature, the melting temperature. And so it went to, I think it was 1300 to 1400 degrees for basalt or granite. Oh shit, no, I'm mistaken. But one of the two, at least, I mean, it went that far. And it is a specialized oven with specialized materials and specialized metals and all that. And we specialize for that condition. We have materials, yes. But imagine that same material at the same time also suffering minus 270 degrees. and minus 270 degrees means everything is solid except for helium and hydrogen, which are liquid. So they're not there's no gas at these temperatures and pressures. And what does metal do at those temperatures? It will become brittle completely. It will crumble away. There's no cohesion anymore, right? It is brittle. It just crumbles in front of your eyes, right? Like you have a snowball and you crumble it and you see it falling. That, like that. And that is one side, and the other side is very plastic, very hot metal. I mean, nothing can function like that. And then they claim that inside there's all electronics and cameras with a 4K HD view, and they can send images back, they have antennas and everything, and that all works in under those conditions, magically, for years. And they can extend timelines, and that all is no problem. That is what we're talking about here, right?
Yes, and I want to buy a washing machine from them.
Yeah. Oh, great.
They want an oven, a washing machine.
Yeah,
Yeah, they want everything from them.
I mean, a normal car, which would be perfectly okay for 10, 15 years, right? I mean, afterwards you can still drive it, but like good state, 10, 15 years. But a NASA car, you can just have for 200 years, no problem, right? Just function.
A NASA car is something that you transmit to your children. Without any type of service or maintenance or whatever.
Fuel, magic, right? I mean, solar panels can just function perfectly. They don't overheat. They don't become cold. I mean, they have... everything in space has been... Well, has been not everything, but things that are not... at least things that are not geostationary, so things that are moving satellites, they call them, right? They are, at one moment or the other, in the shadow of everything. There's no, mostly Earth, but in the shadow side of things, right? Or they have the claim to have taken pictures from the far side of the moon, which is not always in darkness, of course. But if it's full moon, and then they would take the dark side of the moon, let's say, they would take a picture then they would have a spacecraft circle there, space thingy. Then that is completely without anything. In the stone cold, minus 270 degrees, everything. So everything crumbles already. And since when do we have electronics that can function in such conditions? Why don't we have any commercial trickle-down effect of that? If we would have materials that can sustain temperatures, pressures, radiation, cosmic radiation, blah, 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 for so long without problems, why don't we have these materials on Earth? Right?
Yes. Make absolutely no sense. No major discovery ever came from those travels.
Teflon, right? Yeah. Let's not go there again. Okay.
We did already.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Even if we forget that this object allegedly takes the sharpest photos, measures the most advanced things on Earth and atmosphere, and has to keep doing that while communicating the data flawlessly to Earth, this space thingy has to survive these conditions. We don't have any metal on Earth that can withstand these two extremes at the same time, all the time. But satellites are made of kryptonite, I guess. GEO satellites are claimed to function right in the outer belt of the Van Allen belt, at between 32 and 36K kilometers. 36,000 kilometers, right? How? Where are all the test reports about materials, technology, batteries, solar panels, and whatnot on board of these tiny objects, and how they perform under the wildest conditions? The scientific revolution will be bigger than Buzz Aldrin's drinking problem. What do you have to say about that, Buzz?
Imagine Buzz Aldrin drinking problem. I think that what drink Buzz on a daily basis will be enough to incapacitate the two of us.
And then, allegedly, he survived all this radiation and stuff, right? Amazing. And micrometeorite bombardments. Well, incredible. Literally, right? Okay, let's go. What more do you want to say about the geostationary satellites, Gers? Because this is pretty important. You know what they are. You have geostationary and geocentric.
Which one?
Geostationary and geocentric.
You mean a spatial model?
No, those are different types of satellites. They claim.
Oh, okay. Yes, I get that.
And they are all in the outer Van Allen belts at very high altitudes, and they claim they can take photos of them. But so there, if these photos are legit, I don't know that. That's why I want to have that access. But okay, so they are hanging still. The geostationary ones, they are hanging still, that's why it's stationary, above one fixed point on the Earth. So they're always in the same spot, which nothing else in the sky has, right? I mean, the stars move, the moon and the planets and the sun, everything moves, but there's these things, allegedly, are always in the same spot. So, at certain moments, it should reflect the sunlight, and then you can capture them in certain moments not, or so, right? Something like that. But yeah. They are very high, so and they are the same size. I mean, all these things are like a small car, like a compact car that is the size of a satellite, they claim. But they are hanging there still. That is geostationary. Then we have geocentric, and I will come back to that, because I want to talk about it. But that is, I mean, how can it be? I don't understand.
It's impossible. Once again, it's something that is impossible, but that is still manageable somehow, if you want to believe the official story.
I mean, the official heliocentric model says that we, of course, with the Earth, we revolve around the Sun, right? But it is not a constant ellipse. It's not a circle, right? It's an ellipse, and it's not... the sun is in one of the focal points of the ellipse. And that is why in your winter, in December, the Earth is actually closest to the sun. And in your summer, June, the Earth is farthest away from the sun. So Australia gets the hottest summer, and South Africa and Patagonia, they get the hottest summer. And Europe and North America and China, and probably that is also why civilization started there, has the mildest winter. Yeah? That's climatologically, and I mean, if it's the other way around, or like the Tychos or whatever, that it's the observation is still there, the sun and smaller and so on, I mean, that is observed, right? Effect. And, it probably has an effect on the temperature as well. Australia gets very hot in summer, also it's because it's desert and so, but yeah, it's, right? I mean, also that's why Patagonia has a milder climate there, right?
Yes.
But okay, let's not go into all that, but, what did I want to say? Who joined?
Yes, I'm still there.
Hey, Ross.
Still listening in.
Ross has joined, or maybe he's listening in, but... If you want to speak, Russ, all three, we have a recording. I'll just update you, and also the listeners who just joined to listening to the radio station, Radio 3, fakeologist.com. Please empty all your pockets and put your money on his account, because Ab needs this, really, please. All your shekels, in old socks, you probably have old coins and so. Donate them to Ab. He needs them, okay? And to the fart people also. Please send liters of beer to Australia to support them in their effort. It's very important. And bags of cocaine as well, if you can. But we were talking about space travel, Russ, and I'm going over the same post as last time, but also want to go over other posts, if we make it, because we're going pretty long on every sentence. So I will read on then. Okay, what about the sub-Van Allen belts, where allegedly manned and unmanned space travel is booming? Quote-unquote, low Earth orbit. How exactly did those space thingies circumvent the laws of physics? At least, according to their own gravitational model. And then I explain what I explained before, Jerris and so Russ. The whole solar system, every single asteroid, ball of ice, dog-shaped planet, or ring rock of Saturn, is in perfect gravitational equilibrium, with forces literally juggling with planets as if it were an enormous, harmonious 4D marble set. and then some Sputnik's things, it can just fly through it.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
It's one small step for man.
No.
No.
One giant leap for mankind.
Wow. Thank you, Neil. Magic. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, Neil, you couldn't have said it better. Thank you.
Okay, anyone take you? There is no randomness in the universe.
I mean, talking about synchronicity, right?
Yes. Wonderful. That could not have been better.
No, yeah, indeed. Well, and we're just talking about the harmony of it all, right? This harmony that exists in space, according to their model, and we observe it. We can predict the lights in the sky, whatever they are, and they look like bodies and... You can, I mean, astronomy, ground-based things, there's a lot, it's real, right? And that's very important to realize. What they are exactly is speculation, yes, true, to a large extent, but you can measure quite a lot of things. The channels on Mars, right? The Italian astronomer who saw that for the first time in late 19th century, and everybody was crazed and thought people were living on Mars and so. But the observation was real, he saw the channels on Mars. Is scratching the surface, and then everybody now thinks of Mars or any planet is these images that NASA has imprinted faces, right? I mean, I definitely think now about Saturn or Jupiter or Mars, I see the infobox image on Wikipedia, the image of these so-called bodies, right?
Yes.
That is not what we can observe. That is far beyond the detail we can observe of these things, even with the best telescope. I haven't seen, I'm making this claim now a bit wild, I must say, because I've looked for the best telescope pictures, and I need to do that. That's actually, but, right, it is crazy that that was made in the 1970s with some space thingy. And the thing is, the background is all black. Yeah, that cannot be, right? I mean, if you can capture a planet, then the background should be stars and galaxies and whatnot, right? I mean, you cannot not see that. You cannot unsee that. But okay, let's go on. Okay, the whole solar system, the 40 marble sets, and then some Sputnik things, it can just fly through it with some silly science stories. Thank you, SMJ, about, quote-unquote, zero gravity, bringing things into orbit, jumping orbit, Lissajou orbit, Lagrangian points, we talked about that before, and other magical talk that literally belongs in a Disney, quote-unquote, attraction park. They are anything but attractive, those places. Incredible, indeed. It is not to be believed. Oh, yeah, there you go. Oh, it was the other side. It's okay, it's gone already. The ambulance. What is real? Moving lights in the sky are undoubtedly real. The data from quote-unquote satellites is also real. Ground-based observations I consider as real, at least for the most part. Most astronomy is based on good principles, but on a particular model that may or may not be true. The heliocentric model might be right, I consider it the strongest. It may be Tychonian, I don't see geocentric as viable. I cannot say if charge or gravity makes more sense, or ether, because we cannot go into space to test it. And this is a very important point. Because these guys, like I said before, the same thing, how can you half believe a lie? These guys, many of these, the common thing is that at least some of the space travel is real, satellites mainly, and but some of them also believe in other things, and Voyager and also as well, this Jared especially. So you believe in that? But these people, they all use a gravitational model. You don't believe in that model. You believe in a charge model, electrical universe, whatever, charge field, a different physical model. And you don't believe in the model, the gravitational model. But the people who use that model and say they go to space, you believe them. How does that work? I mean, there's no fucking logic in that. Am I inventing things here? Please, Gareth and Russ, please speak up.
As far as I'm concerned, it's imperfectly logic what you say. But we sometimes in life choose to believe certain lies and to adapt certain truth. I, for once, can give you the example that I always believe when a lady told me that I am the best lover in the world. But I know that this is not true. But I still believe it because it suits me.
Okay, but I can perfectly understand the personal benefit of believing this, and it is not right. I like the example. Your funny how you said it, your funny comments. I mean, yeah, they're perfectly great. But the thing is, I mean, if you're interested in this stuff, right? If you're really a space fan and so, how can you? It's literally like schizophrenic, right? I mean, you keep two things together in your head, and they don't fit together. It cannot be true both. It cannot be day and night at the same time.
Supposedly.
Like full night and full day, I mean, right? I mean, yeah, there's the crepuscular time, and blah, yeah. Right? I mean, full day, full night, right? Stuff like that. Yeah, so, yeah, okay. That was my point. I put it differently there, but the only one point is, yeah, there's no discussion possible, and everybody who is in doubt, or actually this is a great step to your point, Karis. Everybody who is in doubt, luckily nobody here, I reckon, Gaia can only be a convex sphere because everybody, the Orion test.
Yes, the Orion test, which you mentioned once or twice on air, and to be completely frank, I was not really knowing what you were speaking about, and I decided to talk upon myself to do a bit of research on it, a little bit of research on it. And I find the video that I think totally describes greatly the model is quite simple and easy to understand and quite definitive, at least on part of the subject. So that video is called on YouTube, Flat Earth, Orion Debunks Dome. So it is Flat Earth, Orion Debunks Dome. And it is an 11-minute video that uses some basic graphic model and simple explanation and not that much of a scientific verbiage or whatever. Just a quick few observations that you can make yourself and that you can also describe to other people that will really, really, really establish that there is no possibility, at least that we are living under a dome. At least that. Maybe there is somewhere someone that created a model that can function with this this solar Orion experience, but I don't think so. So anyway, it totally debunks the dome model or the flat Earth model itself by showing that the position of the Orion constellation on the sky is relatively always the same, and that the disposition of the star, the distance between the star, the change of point of view and whatever doesn't change anything.
No, it's the angle,
that.
It's the angle.
Yes,
and that's
exactly
what he showed in the beginning, and I've only watched first part of the video. But what I've seen is what he showed, what I described in words, and you can imagine in your head, if you are not suffering from aphantasia, and anyone listening and doesn't know what that is, there's a great video, I will post it somewhere. You have to watch that. Absolutely important, because it's a big problem in society. But so you need to imagine things. That is a very important skill we all have. It's natural skill. So in Europe and North America and China and whatever, like Northern Hemisphere, Orion in fall and winter rises with its feet upright. So first the shoulders, and then the belt, and then the feet. Right? Everybody knows Orion. Here. In the and what he showed in the video was 30 degrees north. He compared it to 30 degrees north, so that's like Florida or Spain, southern Spain, or Koa, there, that area, and so, and yeah, the Middle East and so on. And then you already see it changing, turning, but in here, close to the equator, it is completely on its back. So Orion comes up. But the belt is pointing up in the air, so it's on its back. So the feet are to my left, and the head, the shoulders are on the right. And if you go to Australia, I haven't been there, but if you go to the Southern Hemisphere, Orion comes up upright. So first, the feet, and the belt, and then the shoulders. And that effect can only happen if the Earth is a convex sphere. Or convex, at least, convex. And still, it could be like a football or something, right? I mean, there could be like any step from football thing to football thing. That could be, right? But at least there is convex surface, because only a convex surface can create that effect. And then the beauty of it, it doesn't matter what the stars of Orion actually are. And part of Orion, the sword, right? Not a star, that is in a stellar cloud where stars are forming and so, according to the story. But there is at least a cloud. You can watch it with a cheap telescope and so. It's very nice. So that effect, there can be lights in the sky, right? There can be points, like you have a dark room and a half pipe, an inverted half pipe. You put that in a room, and you put lights, like point lights, in a completely blacked out room, as Orion, and you measure what you see when you travel on this half pipe, this convex surface, this inverted half pipe, then this effect happens. And it can only happen when you have a normal half pipe, a concave surface, then that effect would be inverted. So that shows that the Earth can only be convex. And that is not only Orion, that's the whole star thing, but the Orion makes it so great because everybody from a child, you know, you grow up with Orion. Because no matter where you are on Earth, that doesn't matter. You can always see Orion. It is only restricted to a certain time period in winter, in fall winter.
Yes, you summoned it way better than I will ever be able to do it. But anyway, I think that it was the most clear and most simple and the most direct and straightforward explanation of the Orion experience that you described once or twice on different audio chat. And I thought that it was interesting to have a different perspective on that. And yes, maybe someone more neutral, that is not you, to find someone on that topic and to bring this experience forward. Because in the end, everyone is like me. We might have heard you speak about it, but no one really know what it is about and if it is possible to be realized or whatever. So I can only direct you to that video.
That is research. You did research here. You hear me saying something and you understand part of it, but not everything, and it's completely understandable, right? Then you do your own research. You look for the information, and you found something, and you verify what I said by an independent source. We don't know this guy who produced this video, and from what I've seen, it's very correct. It's not attacking people, right? It's very neutral.
Yes, right? And it's not very long. It's not something that will take an hour out of the day of someone. If you just have 11 minutes, it will be easy enough to watch it. And and to be honest, the video doesn't have that much view, so
no, I appreciate below the radar. It's good.
So anyway, that was a point that you mentioned that was not explained further, I figure it will be interesting to direct people to a description of what you said. So even if they want to attack it or try to come up with a model that debunk what is said, they can always do it, but there is at least a basis for discussion, some common matter to be dissected.
I'm just very happy that a guy already actually, and this is like 3-year-old video or so, already did what I described in words and didn't come across as well, understandably.
And suddenly someone break out into a Dalek, which happens sometimes with Discord, especially when there is
I was getting my mango juice. Jairus, I don't know if it's too hard to find now, but who joins? Rush again?
JJ is with us.
No,
but we will immediately move him out because we have a discussion. Not that we are specially attacking this character or whatever.
No.
But we are having a discussion on a topic and we don't really care to be interrupted, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask, Gyrus, also to have a change of voice. If you could read Barbara Miller's post on the Fakeologist blog, maybe nice. Maybe you don't have a bot.
If you give me a second to find it.
No problem, no problem. It's under the NASA Going Nowhere since 1958. That's strange. 1958, oh yeah. Sputnik was 1957. So that was the... And they chose it on the day of the... Death day or the birthday? No, death day of someone. No, birthday. Oh, what was it again? I forgot it already. I've watched so much stuff and so on. I get already... Oh, let me refresh the page and I can check how popular I am in my post. Probably 10 downvotes or so. Two downvotes. Are you still there, Gary? You're looking?
Yes, yes, there is two comments by Bob Tree.
No, do the one below, where she says, Dear Gaia.
Oh, that one. Give me a second to find it.
And, I mean, I don't know if she has, maybe she has hearing and problems, I don't know, if physical disabilities, because... The way she writes, it is, I mean, completely careless about capital, I don't know, punctuation, whatever, right?
There is a bit of punctuation.
Yeah, no, but it's not correct. And the great thing about Fakeologist is that you can edit your post. It is not possible on Mindful or on Josh's blog, but it is possible on Fakeologist. So, yeah, I make use of that and correct it. Sometimes I also have typos and things and so on, but you correct them. I mean, that is, consciously or unconsciously, I don't know about other people, but I don't take some bullshit text, right?
Yes, and we are pretty tolerant on that issue because we are not all speaking. English is not our first language.
Yes, and that is not
a speech impediment life right now.
No, but that's the thing, and there are certain restrictions we have in our language, and yeah, that is a fact of life. But proper use of capitals and so, that's not part of that, of course. It's just carelessness on how you come across. And if you want to come across, want to be taken seriously, then you have to be correct in your, at least your grammar, well, at least what you can correct at to your abilities. Yeah. If you're just posting a simple chat reply, no, of course not. But if you want to post something serious, yeah, it needs to look serious, right? The presentation is part of the message.
Yes. So I am on the post, so I will read it out loud right now.
Okay.
So let's go. Dear Gaia, what is the ISS then? Did you ever watch it? I made some photograph of it and Simon had a laugh at the cruise forum. But what is it then, if not a satellite?
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com
webpage. $1 million.
You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription
or one-time donation. $1 million shekels, at least.
Thank you for your support.
Gyrus, please, people, donate to us, please, now. Open PayPal account.
Let's be honest, it will be great if at least the cost of hosting of the website will be covered by the member.
Yes.
At the very least.
Yes. Please,
I will go back and restart again because what is the point of getting
Present? Yes, great.
Anyway. Dear Gaia, what is the ISS then? Did you ever watch it? I made some photograph of it and Simon had a laugh at the cruise forum. But what is it then, if not a satellite? It does not look like a balloon. It has the shape of a satellite. Like we are being told, a satellite has to look, no? Or don't you believe in satellites at all? Which is the case. Anyway. So about TV
pretty satellites. Pretty rhetoric question. Please go on.
Yes. How about TV satellites, which I'm using since the 80s? Ever used a dish to receive a TV program? They point to the same orbit in space anywhere in the world. How do you explain that? As for ISS, in my opinion, it is a real satellite with the only purpose to reflect the sunlight so it can be watched. Oh. There are no humans on board, of course. Human can fly to space. Whatever it is for you. Or do you not believe in space too? What is in then up there? The problem with all UFEs, which means flat earthers, is that you never explain yourself but only deny everything else. I prefer to take the best explanation I can find and to keep looking for a better one. Until then, this explanation I have as to do, which is not really English. Yes, yes, it is. This explanation I have as to do, dot. So it is the end of the long winding tirade, which strangely enough, I accuse you of being a flat earther, so this person doesn't take half an hour to listen to anything you say.
Oh man, imagine sharing this with Brian Stavely, who just bluffed me today because I was, again, completely non-attacking anyone, nothing at all. And, you know, I tend to be quite... controversial. Well, I was controversial in my, but very content, very serious, neutral, and so on. And he blocked me from the YouTube channel chat, whatever.
But I think that it's sad because he's really trying to make point, to ask you question and whatever, and in the end, it's all crumbled to call you a flat earther. It's so sad.
Yeah. What else do you think of her points? I mean, she is like a normie, right? She would normie.
I would say that one other one I sentence I like was, as for the ISS, in my opinion, it is a real satellite with the only purpose to reflect the sunlight so it can be watched.
Okay.
Just that only purpose. You are able to send satellite up there, but the only thing you will do with the biggest is just for shots.
Yeah.
You go to the hassle of sending a football pitch on the sky, but just for show.
Yeah. That's the thing, right?
It's not even a transmitter or anything.
No, Yeah.
No scientific experiment, no whatever, nothing.
Yeah.
Just a big publicitar billboard.
And what do you know about it? I mean, he asked, what is the ISS then? That is what she asked. It's a great question. I love that question. What is the ISS then? I mean, what is the ISS according to the story? Do you know where it goes?
More the International Space Station is a scientific experiment station that is built out of different modules that were supposedly assembled in space itself.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, by humans, right? By astronauts.
By humans, of course.
Well, yeah, they could have robots, right? Something. But no, by humans. That is how they claim, the mainstream claims, this thing is up there. I don't know. I mean, this is going with 27,000 kilometers an hour or something. And how did they do that then? They were, all these astronauts were also going 27,000 kilometers an hour or so, and everyone was going in orbit, so it was all okay, and they could just be there, no problem. Or, I don't know. But the thing, the main point of this is, again, half a lie, right? If the mainstream says that it was assembled in space by humans, and she doesn't believe there's manned space travel, how the fuck do they get that thing up there then? Right? I mean, listen to yourself.
Yes.
I mean,
like I said, at least she's trying to make a point, but it's very, very convoluted, and there is no really real sense. It's made of question and affirmation. Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I would like to read my reply, which is voted down 2 times, so nobody likes this. No upvotes. No, I don't care about these
it's
things.
No,
please please don't
upvote.
That's not why I was saying I don't fucking care about these things. But okay. What is the ISS then? I quoted from. Just let me give a bit of background. Yes. Barbara Mueller,
This is all public information put out either on Fakeology's blog or on Peace of Mindful, and they're all her words, no doxing, nothing, right? Okay. This lady, she lives in Frankfurt, or close to there, or whatever, and she works there in the financial district, or whatever, I don't know her exact job, but that is something like that. And she claims that in her free time, she is like an amateur astrophotographer. And she claims that she photographed the ISS. And she has sent these photos to Simon Czech. And he laughed about it. That's what she says. I don't know that for sure, but... and Simon didn't publish them, I think. I don't know if he did. I have checked into it. But I have had previous conversations with her many times. And I've called her a troll on... Mindful because she kept trolling things, and she doesn't believe that. Okay, she doesn't believe that DNA is real. Okay, yeah, fine. For me, it is like, okay, explain all the genetics and all that stuff, but doesn't matter. Okay, we don't go there. But she also claimed that blood transfusions are fake. And then there was someone on Peace of Mindful who said, maybe not him or her, but his mother or her brother or sister, some family member has had a blood transfusion. And still she kept denying that that is happening, that it can happen, that it is real. This, I mean, so from that was one of the moments. And then more that I don't take her seriously at all. She's a troll, and the app says the same thing. So, but if she makes this claim, which is even crazier than believing in the mainstream story, because at least then, okay, it's assembled in space. But then... if you believe it's there, but it's not assembled in space, then what happened then, right? Nobody I've heard ever believes such a, like a half lie, like it's completely twisted. Okay, I will read first what they, because otherwise we'll never finish this chat. Okay, what is the ISS then? A near-Earth orbiter, one of the many small, quote-unquote, asteroids that orbit the Earth. Natural. So, a natural satellite, nothing man-made. This is also true for the other, quote-unquote, satellites, the moving lights in the sky passively reflecting sunlight. These lights were spotted but not registered before. It is only since the internet, that is, DARPA, that these things are registered and passed off as man-made objects. They are not. They are natural. And I want to explain it a bit more in the comment. I didn't do that much. But do you know what near-Earth orbiters are, Garish?
Near-Earth orbiters. Low-flying satellites.
Yeah, they're like mini-moons, actually, of the Earth. Right? And they are registered. And there are databases of them and catalogs and so. But what was done before the internet? How was there a... there was no central registration system on Earth, right? Wasn't there.
Yes.
Never. Right? There was nothing. It didn't exist. The internet is the first thing. It started... where does the internet come from? It comes from a military conglomerate working together. And first they did the globalist thing, of course, right? And then it was given to us. What else was given to us the same way? Do you know something else? Just like the internet.
There was a thing that happened before the internet, at least in the French-speaking world. It was called the Minitel. I don't know if you ever heard of that thing.
No, I don't know. What is it?
Minitel. It was kind of, a pre-internet before the internet. Over the telephone wires, you were communicating with person. It was mostly a thing with... can I say that? Erotic text line,
oh,
or whatever, you know? But it was existing anyway, and it was a thing in the French world. You had to type something like 3615. 3615.
Oh, yes. Yeah. What is the signal they used? Because that is what the internet... Fine. But you see what I mean? It's... the point is, What makes a satellite a satellite, and what makes a near-Earth orbiter, and a small asteroid that lights up massively with sunlight, just like a satellite, right? It's not that they don't have active lighting, right? So it's the same, it doesn't matter. There's an object there in the sky that reflects sunlight. That's the thing. And then some people claim that it is man-made satellites. But how do we know it was not seen before if there was no centralized system that could register these things?
Oh. Yes, clearly. Clearly.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah.
Clearly. Anyway, we've been going on for a good 2 hours.
I won't even scratch the topics anymore.
So I get to go, but I figure that you will continue a bit your own.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, man. And,
I could not go on for that longer, Real life trouble will occur if I do so.
Please don't do that. Yeah.
Yes. So thank you, everyone, and bye-bye. I'll speak to you soon.
Okay. Yes, so I will read the post I put on my psychology's blog. What she says about the photographs. I say, one, you claim to have photographed the quote-unquote ISS, and two, it has the shape of a satellite. She says, what we know about satellite, what, like we're being told a satellite, wait a minute, what we are told satellites, most satellites look like are small, compact, car-sized things, not a football pitch-sized thing with all kinds of branching arms and different tubes and solar panels and all that, like an H-shaped thing. So it doesn't look anything like a compact car satellite thing. So if she describes it like that, it cannot be the ISS. Or it is a satellite, and then NASA is lying that the ISS looks like an H from Earth. It's either or. There's no other possibility here. Or they're both lying. That could be the case. Because I say, the International Space Station supposedly is a football pitch-sized enormous thing that is highly irregular with solar panels allegedly sticking out on all sides. How can one ever compare that to the maximum small car-sized, way more compact, quote-unquote, satellites they claim are often launched into space? Impossible, as you can read in detail here, and then I refer to the post we read before. So either you are lying about your photos, looks like a typical satellite, or NASA is lying about the true shape of the ISS, highly irregular branching solar panels of 120 meters diameter. Which is it? Or are you both lying? Or don't you believe in satellites at all? And then I say, satellites can only be natural, the result of forces in quote-unquote space, be it gravitational, the mainstream model, which I boomerang against them, charge, Miles Mathis and groupage, or ether, basically inverted gravity, it's a push instead of pull, or whatever else. I mean, there is a force that keeps it all together, whatever it is. We cannot go into space, so it's funny to speculate what it actually is, but nobody can know that because we cannot measure it. So I don't say that space is a hoax, but I do say that knowing what space is a hoax. And this goes, how about TV satellites, blah, 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 yes, to point the dish at the exact right point. That's a myth, and I have visual proof of that, and she has seen the visual proof because I took a photo from my balcony, and I saw 30, 50 satellite dishes all over the place, and they pointed to different different angles from the same company, and also so the different companies I saw, and they had differences between the angles of the dishes. So it's a myth. It has to be exactly in the same direction. That's not true. Even if it were, does that mean that there is a satellite there? No, it doesn't. And we will go into that a bit later. So I said to her, and I showed that photo to her from my balcony, and Ab saw that photo too, and he liked that photo. And so, yeah, it's real life evidence. And then she says, there are no humans on board. Humans can fly into space. Really? So they would spend, allegedly, billions of dollars just that we watch some allegedly artificial light in the sky, just like Jerry said. Right? And if, quote, humans cannot fly into space, unquote, how the fuck could they build the ISS then? The ISS is composed of various modules that are, according to this story, were assembled in steps, in space, and by humans. So if you just if you believe just half of the lie, how did NASA, cum suis, manage to launch a highly irregular football pitch-sized Moloch into space and keep it functioning? There are no people on board. And how do they adjust? It just orbits. He cannot adjust orbit. An orbit is a result of forces way bigger than us. The problem with all you flat earthers is that you never explain yourself. Well, that's a very ironic quote if you call me a flat earther, and then you really haven't paid any attention whatsoever. Not interested, are you? Hey, shamelessly uninterested in what someone has to say. It's not even worth addressing. To hear what you're saying. She has seen everything in peace of mind for her. Flat Earth is a banned topic there, a forbidden topic, and she knows that, and I've said so why. The stupidest attack she could come up with, really. She would say space denier, then she would come with, yeah, like, I'm not denying, but I'm going to go there, and we don't know what it is. Simple as that. I doubt that we that mankind has been to the bottom of the ocean, at least the Mariana Trench. And so I think that this, and it makes sense that it's fake, because you go there once and you don't go there again, so why not fake it? Because I think that you need so much technology to go to such depths. The pressure is so enormous.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Late Night with Kay, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Uh-huh, Kay, wow, she's on a ghost hunt now with Max, I think. But good to see, they're going on a path that is more fulfilling in their lives. I think they made the right decision, and although I disagree with a lot of points and so on, I think, especially KM, I learned from her. And yeah, good. So, good on you guys that you chose a path. Yeah. It was this post by Barbara and by Reaction. Let's see what she has to say. I don't know. She hasn't reacted yet. There's another post I made just before going live here. And it's a bit longer post, but it's also quite important, and now we can read it. I can read it much shorter than before. There are several types of quote-unquote satellite data. Two main categories, dynamic real-time data and static surveys. The real-time data includes global positioning system, a military system gifted to us civilians. That's what I mentioned again with Jerris. That is like the internet. The GPS was first a military invention, and or used in the military and refined and so on. And then it was given to us by them. Oh, how gracious, how nice. Everybody is robbed. Money is taken from us. So-called to keep in household economy going in the state, which is not the case, but it's the main story at least. To pay for a military industrial complex that is completely funded by magical money. But, people make money from that. And we get robbed. And also the people making money get robbed, but they also get a lot of benefits. Which I think is fine if it's something useful and natural stemming from
if you're a good entrepreneur or so, great. But that's not the case here. We are talking about physical harm to people and so on. And so that's a military invention, GPS, but that is given to us. Okay. And the real-time data. And the TV and phone signals of the quote-unquote satellite TV phone. That works all the time. 24/7 works. So the system works separately and independently from phone and internet signals. It works 24/7 and is reliable. We have first points. Undersea cables, according to some sources, which I still need to check deeper into, 99% of all communication on Earth is done by undersea cable. Towers, which can handle different wavelengths and so on. I have 25 non-electricity towers in view every day. So all the whole view of the palace is 270 degrees, more or less. And in that view, I have 25 towers. And probably there are more, but they're hidden behind the buildings and trees and so. And the mountains, of course. So, yeah. And why do they need 25 towers here? If they only have 4 or 5 or so providers of cell phone signals and so. Where are the other towers used for? Sending signals. Yeah, they can send all kinds of signals, and it is... You have a company that takes care of these towers and so. It's very easy to just send a different signal. There's nobody who's checking what's happening there. You know? All these towers are there on Earth. That's very important to notice. Balloons. They are used for quote-unquote weather for ages. Used for internet by Google. So why not for satellite use? And then the biggest quote-unquote unvisited part of the world covering the whole globe. That is a map I shared on the blog. I hope the post is already confirmed? Accepted. Let me see. Yeah, it's a map of the shipping lines. And there are, it's actually very restricted where ships are coming on Earth. There's a very big part of the oceans which is completely unvisited or visited by very few ships. And so, captains and sailors and all that stuff. So there is quite a large portion of Earth that is where you possibly can station like a ship or so, or a military thing, a ship, military ship, with antennas and towers that can, across the globe, create communication network that is possible. And they figured out that all this stuff. And yeah, it could be that they release the full story about how they invented the internet and the GPS and so on, that they completely honest. That could be. Could also be that it's only half of the story that they tell, and actually in the background they were doing, I mean, the satellite things. Real-time communication networks without satellites. Just real-time communication networks. We have that. And that works perfectly with towers and undersea cables and balloons and the reflection of the ionospheres that are working for other wavelengths than radio and so on. They can convert signals and all that stuff. But there is possibility enough. You don't need a satellite. And the thing is that in the ocean, there are large pieces where nobody comes, hardly anybody, from the shipping. And then we have the picture of the... what I say is note that in the green areas where few ships fare, and we don't know which vessels are there and by which owners they are sent there. The point is that few people get to see the areas outside of the red and yellow. The map of the flight paths is even more drastic. All the white areas on Earth are no non-seafaring human being ever seen. And this is the thing. If you look at the map of the flight paths on Earth, they are Europe and North, of course, very thick. But across the ocean, Atlantic is pretty much, but in the southern Atlantic, there's just 3 flights from Rio or Sao Paulo to Africa. And everything south of South Africa, and there's no flight from South Africa to Ushuaia or so. So there's a lot of territory at sea which is completely not monitored, not looked at. So a lot of possibility to just park ships with antennas and nobody would ever notice the thing. I'm not saying they are there or they're using that, but they can do that. It is a very big possibility. There's nobody monitoring them. In the middle of the ocean, far away from shipping lines that and flight paths. It is the most unvisited area on Earth. Even Antarctica is more visited than that. So what do we have? How difficult is it to have 24/7 military or non-military vessels stationed in the places covering the globe with tower-based signals, unseen to the public eye? How likely is that? Well, we know about the many military bases on remote islands in the world, and then I share a map of only the American bases, and there are some on the islands in the Indian Ocean, and on St. Helena and Cape Verde in the Pacific, in the Atlantic, but not in the Azores. And so this is very restricted, but it gives an idea that on islands we have military base, at least the US and also the British and whatever. So there is enough possibility to cover the whole globe. So this is the only, there are 24/7 manned scientific research stations, weather stations, oil rigs and other places all around the world. Military is not exempt. And all inventions come from the military. Satellites, quote-unquote, NASA started off as a military organization, and Lockheed Martin, because they launched a couple of the Telstar so-called TV satellites. GPS and the Internet are military inventions. So, they must have full control over the whole process. Satellite TV works flawlessly 24/7. Does it really exist depending on a satellite, quote unquote, in fantastical orbits between 952 and 5,933 kilometers, allegedly launched in 1962 and working for 7 months, right in the heart of the Van Allen belts? Sorry, I wasn't alive in 1962, but people in hot summers were barely able to keep their radio batteries running in the pre-cassette playing era. And you want me to believe this story? The static surveys are periodic single events, not 24/7, not real time, as the first category. This includes actually the bulk of satellite data, which most people don't see. These are surveys on anything we can measure on Earth and is of importance for us as mankind. Forest fires, deforestation, CO2 levels, abuse for the AGW scam, but let's not go there. Here. Temperatures, the weather, etc. Weather balloons work for decades. Google uses balloons to send internet signals across the globe. So what stops them from using balloons for other satellite activities? I react to a video from The Guardian about the hurricane. Russ is not joining. That's a pity. Pity, Russ. But okay. He maybe wrote. Oh, it could be. No, he didn't. But what I want to say is the video on the Guardian, and what they show is an image of Earth from so-called space with the hurricane there. And what I think, when I saw that, I had an idea what it might be. You have three layers. You have the space thingy. And that's sometimes in view, and the camera is really strangely, shockingly changing view and so. And the Earth, and you have the background, the pitch black background. And that can never be an image of Earth. It's a meteorological model. And the thing is, NASA and in the US, the North American Oceanic and Atmospheric Association or so. Yes. Think so. They work together mostly with the global warming bullshit, of course, but why not? They get their meteorological. I am so happy I didn't become a meteorologist. Like I wanted to become far too difficult with mathematics. But they have these models, and they just pass them off as real images from space. That's how it goes. Easy, right? Because it has to match the hurricanes and so on, how it's going. So NASA can easily pass off meteorological models of NOAA just to U.S. governmental organizations sharing data, something that happens all the time. Also with the USGS, as quote-unquote space images, to match the real weather as the current hurricane really raging over the Bahamas and entering Florida. The picture of Dorian is gray. Dorian is the name of this hurricane. But these are models, simulations of reality. They are by definition not representations of reality. Nobody denies that there are no photographs of Earth. And then I share the famous music video by a conspiracy music guru, No Photographs of Earth. The celestial beauty. As always, the skies can never be pitch black. You simply cannot not capture any stars, / galaxies, / planets, / stellar clouds, / etc. The more light you get in view, the lower the amount of light captured from the sky. So with, in this case, like 80% of the view, the very bright white clouds of Earth, their amount of light from the background space would be low, but it cannot be zero, ever. The problem is visible in almost all of the images allegedly taken from space. And then I share the photo of Apollo 15. Take this alleged Apollo 15 rendezvous photo. The pipe and teapot are visible under very low light conditions, and we have 90% sky here. There should be an Atacama Desert beauty of the skies in the background here. You cannot miss that. There's no possibility you cannot capture things that must be there. You cannot not capture things that must be there. That is basic common sense and logic, right? And caused by physical laws of light. I will refresh and let's see what if there's a reaction to this. I saw there were reactions to the stuff at fakeologist.com, so it might be nice. Maybe that is here too, and it will be interesting. There are some reactions, I see. So that could be the case. It is quite up to date then to read that. That is not a reaction to me. That's fine. Yeah. Hmm. Oh, the post of by my post is at least approved by Josh. That's good. So, is there a reaction? Yes. Mantalo says, "What if the Van Allen belt is a hoax? It looks like a donut. This is a creation from The Simpsons." True, the Van Allen belts are completely theoretical, because we cannot go there. Yes, of course. Oh, discovered in 1958 with the help of Explorer 1 and 3, blah, 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 satellites, but I mean, yes. Yeah, absolutely true. Great. Yeah. You're right. Actually, we have another report. It's good. Yes, the Van Allen belts are shot. They're an assumption. They're an assumption. But are they a hoax? Is that right? I don't think it's a right. Because we have the effect of the aurora, and it seems to be related to magnetic effects and so. So that is, I think, where they actually was one of the strong bases for it. I think indeed they used these first rockets allegedly to measure it. But there could be already effects in the upper atmosphere that they went really the highest they could go, like 80 kilometers, 90, 100, I don't know, whatever, some value like that. And then they found there was radiation already. And on the basis of that, they started with this, Van Allen started. But he was a geophysicist, so he started on the basis of the geomagnetic field and the effect of the aurora. and how that related to the skies. And yeah, that's, I think it's a model. Yeah, it's an idea.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Dreams, they feel real while we're in them, right? It's only when we wake up that we realize something was actually strange.
So, yeah, it's actually what I more or less had to say, I think. I didn't have more posts. No, this was what I want to share. Is there another one? No. Yeah, so it's interesting. There's some active space talk going on. And let's see what they were saying, because it's quite something that if people could finally realize that none of it is possible. Space fake for the final frontier, indeed, Josh. So thank you for hosting that blog post, the blog. And I want to do another shout out to Tena T. That was actually the plan. I want to play another video by him, but the boat is not working. So no videos, no music, quotes, no samples. Fakeologist.com by John Laws and so on. So no, and let's figure out how that can be solved. So yeah, thank you all for listening, and yeah, check out the post. And if you want to comment on something, if you liked the chat, just please leave a comment and something nice. Share some sign that at least what you hear is valuable in one way or the other. We don't need to have full conversations on the comments or so, but it's just nice to hear some feedback and something about the content. And if you disagree with something, you know, and put it in there and we can talk about it. I am not saying that everything I think of the model of how it works now is correct or so, because by definition it's a model and it keeps changing. That is the whole idea about truth seeking, and that is actually science. That is, it's never settled, never, by definition, because we always, there's always more truth to find. So yeah, and I think we're doing that, and so in the meantime we can make mistakes, but so far I don't see happening that things can survive in these circumstances without maintenance and functioning with electricity and so in radiation environments, and I don't know what, and they don't know what. That's the thing. If it would be that mankind would have gone there, it would be the most studied, scientifically well sounded. Everything would be known. Actually, that's how it would start. They would send the first probes, do measurements. That it takes years and years to publish and refresh and so, then they go higher. It will be a process of 200 years before they could put men into space if it wasn't gravity or another force that would keep us from here. If it would be possible to go into space, then the process would take hundreds of decades to 200 years. But it's never possible. And they figured out early on that it's not possible. Otherwise, they wouldn't start. It's all starts somewhere always, but the big part is the turn of the century, the fin de siècle of the 19th century. Because before you had Jules Verne publishing his science fiction and others at the same time, and then that was laying the foundation for the idea of space travel. The Beavers on the Moon hoax is an excellent example, 1835 already. Active contribution by Herschel and his son, the astronomers. So yeah, that there's a long history of preparing us in thinking that this is possible, and it's not, and it will never be for anyone, everyone. So no aliens, no exoplanets where we can go to, no nothing. It gives a lot of rest. It means that everything is here on Earth. We can never leave the Earth. So if we fuck up the Earth, there's no way to go, nowhere to go. So that is a different view of life. It's an existential different view of life. because maybe space travel, if it were real, is not possible, is not accessible for us. But what everybody thought, and that is what should have happened if it's possible, is that it becomes commercial. The first trains were used to transport gold probably from bank to bank. But then, hey, let's do passengers as well. Same things every time in history. Keep studying, research. Great how Garrus did it. He checked my points, or one of my points. And he found it an independent confirmation by someone else. So, yeah. That is research. That is verifying what someone says and so on. That is how it should be. That should be no difference in attitudes against the mainstream story or in conspiracy theory and alternative narrative explanation, whatever. Should be same standards. Otherwise the standards would not be honest. Then there's bias, and you should restrict bias as much as possible. So yeah, I think it's a good time to close off the chat, and it was very nice to have shared this. Yes. So thank you everybody for listening. So, yeah, until next time. We're here. So, thank you.
Fakeologist.com.
Okay, wait a minute. I see that the bot is working again. That's funny. Then let's do one thing. I can play all kinds of music and so on, but I would like to try if finally with one of the bots I can play four times. Because then we are in business here.
That's all, folks.